or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, May the 25th, 1990. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker of the evening. This is one of two of the Friday evening service.
Yeah, these things kind of fight me back. I got a mean voice. I'm not really that tough. I just look that way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank the Lord. Let me say in the opening statement here that my remarks will be intended to commend the remarks that have already been made. If otherwise, at any time it sounds otherwise, it is purely incidental. And I'm right, and they were wrong. If anybody, you know, I'm a real congenial man. I don't require that you believe everything that I believe just the way that I believe it. If you will not require me to believe everything you believe just the way that you believe it. If you persist to differ with me, I give you the privilege of being wrong. Now, praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Ah, yes. Yes, the Lord is great, and this is a great people. Solomon said, I don't even know how to go out and come in before this great people that you've set me over. He begged for the wisdom of God, and it is a great people. I don't believe since we've been here, this is unusual to get this far without asking who all's here for the first time to Lake Hamilton. Look at there. Always. We've seen it packed out with the walls rolled back, and we've seen it from this as one of the smaller groups on account of the incidents or the happenings. But always when we ask that question, it seems that it'll be about at least a quarter, maybe a third, that are here for the first time. I think, boy, what a great ministry to go forth from here. And these people go back to many states with a new anointing and having learned something, having been enlightened by being here. Praise the Lord. The Lord would speak to you tonight and say that you are a chosen people. Yea, and I shall gather you together and squeeze you unto my bosom, saith the Lord. Yea, that you may be nourished. And then I'll set you at my feet, and I'll teach you the way to Zion, and I'll teach you the ways of the Lord. Yea, and I shall teach you and show you things to come. Yea, for you shall no longer dwell in a partial darkness. Yea, but you shall dwell in the brilliance of the Shekinah glory of the Lord. Yea, because my people's minds have been dull, yea, I have withheld revelation from them. Yea, but as your mind is enlightened, I shall begin to unveil my life and myself in you, saith the Lord. Yea, for it is a day of revelation, the day of enlightening. Yea, I shall reveal my being, for know that over the dispensations of time, in each dispensation, I, the Lord, have dispensed a portion of my life into humanity, saith the Lord. Yea, and now you come almost to the fullness of the dispensations. Now, I can assure you this, that when you have reached the fullness of the dispensations, I will have dispensed my life in its entirety into you. Yea, and you shall stand in my likeness and in the fullness of my statutes, saith the Lord. Yea, you shall no longer guess, but you shall be sure. You shall no longer think, but you shall know. For the Lord of glory shall touch your lips. He shall touch your eyes, and he shall touch your ears. Yea, and you shall judge no longer by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but with righteous judgment, yea, ye shall go forth. Yea, and many shall come unto thee, saying, show us the way to Zion. Teach us the ways of the Lord. We have heard of the great things that God has done in your midst. Yea, and we want to become one of you. We want to be a partaker of this good thing that the Lord is doing in the earth. For the Lord of glory shall move on thee in a very conspicuous way. Yea, and even your enemies shall know that you are a chosen out, peculiar, yea, and a royal people that the Lord hath laid his hand on, saith the Lord. Yea, I am not playing with you, now neither am I teasing thee, saith the Lord, but I speak the truth because I am the truth. Yea, I shall lead thee from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and faith to faith. Yea, I shall guide and direct thee, and lead thee into all safety. I shall protect thee from all evil. I shall keep thee in the palm of my hand, saith the Lord. Yea, and I tell you this, that there is not a power in earth, under earth, or above earth, yea, that is able to pluck you out of my hand. Yea, you are secure with me, saith the Lord. Yea, therefore, just cuddle up a little closer, yea, and let me draw you into a tight circle, spiritually speaking, that is, yea, and I shall speak to thee secrets that are as yet unknown, saith the Lord. Know that kings, yea, and even the angelic beings have desired to look into that that you will behold tonight. I tell you now that if you will give me your attention this night, deep will call to deep, and you will know that you have been touched by the Almighty. You will hear voices, yea, that some among you will not hear. You will feel urges that some among you will not feel. Yea, but be not alarmed. Don't be surprised. It is the Lord that is speaking to you. Yea, and it is the Lord that is getting your attention, and it is the Lord that expects to lead you in, that you may find green pastures, yea, that will satisfy your soul. Yea, tell me, thou, said the Shulamite, whom my soul loveth, where dost thou pitch your tent, and where do you feed your flock at noonday? For why should I be as one of those that tend and feast with the flocks that are nearby? Yea, I must come into the presence of the Almighty. I must be one of those people to whom it has happened, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouths filled with singing, and our tongues with singing. Then said they among us, among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. saying, let us break his bands from us. Let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron. Dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye kings and be wise, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in thee. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, my Lord, and save me, my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of thy people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And as the political system sets itself against the church of the living God and imagines, hallelujah, imagine to take away our tax exemption, imagine to shut down our buying power, imagine that they'll cast their cords from us, and it's too late. He's already set his king in his holy hill of Zion. It's already settled. Hallelujah. Amen. They waited too long. God had already set his king in his holy hill of Zion. I'll tell you, before he told Moses to order the elders to take a lamb from the flocks, God had already set his king in his holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. God had already, in the foreknowledge of God, God had already brought him to Calvary and beyond Calvary, and had placed him as king, King of kings and Lord of lords. And everything revolves around that. It's too late. They can't change it now. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we're just, well, what are we doing? Well, we're just walking it out in shoe leather. Hallelujah. God has given it to us in a preview, a picture, but now he is allowing us to walk it out. Now, I share some scriptures with you. I'll read these. I could quote them, but it looks like I'm showing out, so I put on these glasses that I can't see through. Hallelujah. Amen. And read them. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 51, and perhaps we'll read further. The title to this lesson is God Raising Up Deliverers and Judges. Deliverers, now we know that God raises up deliverers, but these deliverers are judges. There are a lot of deliverers, and there are a lot of categories. Let me tell you this, that we could, it doesn't matter. Unless something changes, you know what we'll be doing 20 years from now? Pretty much like we're doing now. Well, somebody will. some of us may be over the hill. going to be with the Lord. But you know what we'll be doing 50 years from now? Pretty much the same. It'll change. You'll be talking about the old days, like we are talking about the old days, like Brother Trotter has given us a rendition of the old. I came up through that old school. Boy, I was cutting my teeth, but perhaps just maybe a little ahead of him on the same kind of old pews. I came through the whole works. But it's amazing that I've been able to make the transitions that God has brought me through. I am a come out of the come outers. Hallelujah. Amen. I have never been kicked out of anything. But I'll come out of anything that tries to bind the moving of God's Spirit. You get too programized, and I can't fight it. That's why I hardly ever do notes, because I can't follow notes. Goodness gracious, I tune it. Oh, my Lord. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, ours it's a perilous life, isn't it? We belong to a kingdom that is in another kingdom. I don't belong to this world. I belong to the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is in this cosmos, the way of things. And I kindly confess to you that I kindly like the cosmos, but I love the kingdom of God. And I can tell you where you are right now without fear of being corrected sincerely. You might want to argue with me, but if you'll think it over before you begin your argument, you'll just agree with me. I know what you'd like to do. You are in a kingdom that is in another kingdom, and you are demanded to give your full allegiance to the kingdom of God. But the world wants your full allegiance. Now, what you would like to do is to get the best of both. Well, I would too. Yeah. Yeah. But, oh, yes, sir. If you think you'd like to have the best of both, well, I'd like to have it more. Over 250 pound of me here. They have a bit of it. Would like to have the best of both worlds. But that's what I can never do, and that's what you can't ever do. David was a man after God's own heart, and he realized that there were two citizenships. And he wanted the best of both of them, didn't he? Yeah. He wanted the best of both. You can't do it that way. Somebody's going to demand our full allegiance. So far, we've not been able to meet this demand. I tell you now, saith the Lord, that what I am demanding from the blessed sons of God, yea, that shall be unveiled to this generation, yea, is more than you can give. Yea, unless you submit your entire life to me. Yea, unless you deny your every human will. Unless you can say, not just vocally, but with all of your heart, spirit, and being, not my will, but thy will be done. Unless you can do this, I, the Lord, am demanding more than you will be able to produce, saith the Lord. You cannot do it in yourself. Now, listen, the carnal mind, sometimes I'm carnal-minded. I'm making a lot of confessions here because, see, I'm not going to claim any perfection here tonight, but he's working on me, and I'm persuaded that the good work he has begun in me, he'll perform it unto that day. And I am a candidate for walking right into life. Don't let that disturb you. Just try to follow me into life. Now, if you try to follow me, I'll try to lead you into life. I'm a candidate for walking into life and bypassing death. Somebody said, are you preaching never die? No, I'm just preaching living forever. Hallelujah. Amen. I've never been a never die preacher. I've been a live forever preacher. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a difference. I wouldn't dare stand here and tell you that if things continue for 200 years, I'll still be coming to Lake Hamilton and preaching the kingdom of God for you. But I'll tell you that I'll come as long as I can, and when I can no longer come, this tabernacle here may be laying over there on that old clay hill with my forefathers. But this tabernacle is what you see, is just what I live in. Yeah. 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 This is me to you, but I just live in this house. It's been a pretty good house. Yeah. It's generally healthy, strong, and handsome. And I kind of like the old house. I've noticed some wear and tear. Shingles are still intact, but one of these days, if things go as they are now, I'll lay down this tabernacle. But that don't mean I'm dead, because I've tasted of life. The Bible said that if that happens to me, this tabernacle will go back to the dust from whence it come, and the spirit will go back to God who gave it. That's me. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. What am I going to do? Well, if the time element's right, I may walk right into life. You can't get around the time element. In the fullness of time, Paul said, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, that he might condemn sin in the flesh. God let him come just right. God timed it so beautiful. Oh, I wish I could show you how God did that, and how far back he started to do it, and how precise he was in making sure that Jesus came down through the lineage just right to come under the law. Jesus' whole ministry was preached under the law. Hallelujah. Well, God does everything just right, doesn't he? Yes. But I think, God won't disturb that timetable. You know why he won't disturb the timetable? He's already set his king in his holy hill of Zion, and it's already stamped with his signet, and the time is already established. And God, somebody said, ain't nothing God can't do. Yeah, it is too. Hallelujah. I mean, there are a lot of things that God can't do, and the reason he can't do it is because he chooses not to do it, and because that he is God. God cannot lie, because he is truth and the source of truth, and anything he said, no matter how untrue it may seem to you or to me, it is the truth if God says it. Hallelujah. Amen. So God can't do that. He can't lie. And neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent. So it's already, if ever there was a time that if God could have changed his timetable, I know when he would have done it. You remember this guy called Job? And God just bragged on him ferociously, didn't he? This was just bold about Job. Said, man, have you considered? He approached Satan with him, didn't he? And said, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? How he's upright and filled with integrity and won't have a thing to do with evil. And you know what Satan said? He said, as a matter of fact, I've had him under consideration. Well, what have you concluded? I have concluded that I know for a fact that you've got him hedged in. You've got a protecting hedge around him. And if you would let me cut that hedge down, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, All right, go ahead and take it down. So they took down the hedge, and Job still maintained his integrity, didn't he? And they met again. And God said, he brought up the subject again, said, what about Job? Oh, he said, he's got more integrity than I thought he had, but you know, I just touched his protecting wall there. You've made him the richest man in the East. Why don't you let me touch some of that? I get into his stocks and bonds, his camels and cattle and sheep and lambs, and let me touch that. And he'll curse you to the face. Well, he takes all of his wealth, goes, doesn't it? And his wealth was such a diversified variety that he couldn't go broke. You couldn't break Job. His wealth is too diversified. Sister Cook said, no safe place to put. You know, that's the truth. There's no safe place. Nothing's. If you've got wealth, it ain't really safe nowhere. Sometimes it might be better just not have it and you don't have to worry about it. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I'd be willing to worry about a little of it, though. So then his family, but he had a great family, 7 sons it was and 3 daughters, and they all went. And everything is taken now. And then he said, well, let me touch his, all a man has he'll give for his life. Now the devil's telling truths. He told the truth that time. He said, all a man has he'll give for his life. And that's the truth. But he said, now, let me touch his person. So he touched him. And old Job, he comes down with boils, sores. He's got everything. Everything's wrong with him. And his boils mature and burst. And here he's, and his wife says to him, you miserable wretch of a man, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, well, woman, you talk like one of them foolish women from the heathen tribes over there. He said, God giveth, and God taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And it was on that day that Job sat on that ash heap. He sits in an ash heap, boils all over him, sackcloth, he can't stand nothing, hardly touching his body. He picks up broken pieces of pottery and scratches his putrefied sores. He can't get any relief. And he cries out, oh, that there was a daysman that could touch me and him at the same time, could touch us both. But there was no daysman. Heaven was silent. But I declare that if God would alter his timetable, he would have altered it that day for Job. But years later, hundreds of years later, there was a baby that cried out in a stable in Bethlehem, and a daysman had come, one that could touch me and could touch God. In him dwelled all the Godhead bodily. In him we live and move and have our being. Oh, let this surprise you if it will, but it is equally true that in us he lives and he moves and he has his being. Oh, praise the Lord. And one of them thrills me about as much as the other. Hallelujah. In him God had invested it all. The Word had become flesh and dwelled among men. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He would become the head of a many-membered body. He would become the head of a church. He would become the firstborn whom it would please the Father to bring many sons to glory like unto the first one. This is my hope. This is my hope. Hallelujah. And when God begins to raise up these deliverers and to bring forth the judges, there's a lot of work to be done here yet. A lot of it. Somebody said, well, it's about over. Oh, it ain't near over. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not near over. I have an idea. It depends on what we're talking about when we say it, but it ain't never going to be over. Hallelujah. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Yeah, we're going to clean up this world. We're going to remove all this pollution during the kingdom age. We're going to move some of it before the kingdom age is ushered in. Somebody has to live a life of holiness, for without no man shall see God. It has to happen to somebody.
Yeah.
Now let me read some scripture. In the 51st verse, "Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That is, we shall not all die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And oh, what a message this would be in itself. Every reference is another lesson, another study. But, all right, in a moment, when are we going to be changed? How long? In a moment. In a moment, what's a moment? 60 seconds. No, in the twinkling of an eye. Some Bible scholars have told me this is the least breakdown, I guess it would be, of time. It is the smallest time that can be measured with a calculator or whatever. Somebody has said it's that time between when the light changes from red to green and the horn blows behind you. Anyway, it's immediately, isn't it? All right, now, the last trump is the seventh trumpet. Would you agree to that without me having to do some more research? If you want me to, if you would demand me to, I'll just prove it right down verbatim. But trust me and take my word for for some, because I ain't got time to give you all the scripture. But I will give you Revelations 10 and 7. All right? "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished." What was the mystery? We just read about the mystery. The mystery was that we ain't going to all die. Now, when the seventh trumpet sounds here, shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. That makes me know that something has happened here. And I'm going to tell you what it is. Hallelujah. The sons of God have been manifested. The 144,000 has walked into life, and they are the first fruits. You know the 144,000 in the 14th chapter of Revelation. Don't take too much for granted. 144,000. These are those that come to Zion. Well, we better turn over there and read it, because we don't want to. All right. "I looked," 14th chapter, verse 1, "and behold, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion with 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great trumpet thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women." Now, all right. Now, there's 144,000. Somebody said, well, is this a literal number? I believe it to be a literal number, because it will say further that these are the first fruits. So I believe it is a literal 144,000. But it is only the first fruit. And the first fruit guarantees a bountiful harvest. But we read on here, these are they that were not defiled with women. A woman is ever a type of the church. These are those that have not been defiled with all the church systems. They've not been indoctrinated by all of the systems. They are virgins, says so, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They are pure virgins. They've not been defiled with all the church systems and learned all the doctrine that they'd have to unlearn. But they have followed the Lamb. We talked about the cloud last night. They followed the Lamb wherever he went. Yeah, you follow him. I tell you, if we follow public opinion, we'll miss God further than it is from earth to Mars. Now, I don't mean just part of the time, but I mean all the time. The carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh can't please God. But you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, because if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, we're heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. For the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves, awaiting the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What man yet hopeth for that which he has? But if you hope for that which you have not, then do you with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who is he that can be against us? Or if he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Hallelujah. Whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. I came up through the old school that you dare not say predestinate. And if you're reading along here, you read fast when you get there. And don't pause for at least another three or four verses. Because they'll say, he's saying what is to be. Is he saying what is to be will be? Oh, I'm saying that. Them he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. Now, see, I never had no problem with predestination. Even in the old school, I didn't have a problem with it because I understand it. When you understand these things, they're no longer problems. I've had no problem with Godhead. Yeah, we came up through the old argument between the two denominations. Is there one or three? Hallelujah. You've been baptized Trinity? Yeah, well, I've been baptized Trinity. One, yeah. The head foamus and backwards, and I was up in the Pennsylvania and run in some dunkers. And the pastor said, you've been dunked, Brother Harris? And I said, no. So how you baptized? I said, head foamus, backwards, in Jesus' name, name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But you've never been dunked. And I said, no. But would you like to dunk me? Hallelujah. Ah, praise the Lord. I figured it didn't make me any holier or any honorier. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. But, he said, you will not come to me. You have to dig just a little beneath the surface and come to him in the Scriptures. The Scriptures bring you to him. Hallelujah. Well, see, what I know about predestination, why doesn't it offend me? Because I know that it is in the foreknowledge of God. And there ain't nobody here that don't believe that God knows everything. Anybody here believes God doesn't know everything? Well, you see, you believe in predestination. You that may make you a rascal with your with your denomination. But in the foreknowledge of God, and you know the Bible said he speaks of things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a great big God. You see, I started saying that I sometimes am carnal minded. You ever get carnal minded, Rod?
Yeah.
Well, did you know this? That it's dangerous to be carnal minded because when you are in the carnal mind, you have access to everything that the carnal mind can imagine, everything that it can propagate, promote. You have access to all of it. Now, if someone doesn't believe that, then don't tell me that when you are in the spirit that you have access on, by the same token, when you are in the carnal mind, you have access to everything that's in the carnal realm. And though you won't do everything in that carnal realm, you are subject to it. The creature was made subject to vanity. You just pass in that tree again. Adam was subject to vanity, and there the tree of vanity was there, and he passed it and looked at it, but he went on by until Eve messed it up for him. Hallelujah. He was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but it was by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. In hope. But Adam was perfect. He was really a perfect guy, wasn't he? But he was perfect because of innocence. See, our perfection is not because of innocence. It is because of overcoming. Whatever amount of perfection we have, we did it through overcoming. And by the grace of God. And God didn't want a bunch of grown men that were pure just because they were innocent, never been exposed. He wanted a group of overcomers. God had it like he wanted it. He had a man in the earth after his own image that had dominion over all of his works. Now, that's what he had in Adam. You know it says that. Now, I tell you this, that what God will do at the end of this age, he will have again a man in the earth. Only this time it's not just one man, Adam, but it is the cooperate body of the last Adam, the sons of God. And they will be in the image of the Father, and they will have dominion over the works of his hands. And if you believe that, you are a candidate for walking into life. And if you don't believe it, well, lay it on the shelf and look at it once in a while. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. These are they that speak of me, but you will not come to me. All right. Now, we read there where he, where did we read to about the trump. And we read about the 144,000, didn't we?
That's right.
All right, then let's go back to the 11th chapter of Revelation and verse 15. Now, the seventh trumpet has begun to sound. The mystery of God is finished. And I tell you, let me tell you what all I think took place here. I think that the sons of God have been manifested. The mystery was that we wouldn't all die, but we'd all be changed. I think they have been changed while yet alive. I also think that the first resurrection has taken place. Or is taking place. And the dead in Christ will rise first. But now when he says the dead in Christ, well, let me give you that scripture. What's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? I begin with verse 13. You'll read with me. And I, brethren, wouldn't have you ignorant concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of angel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And there shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore he said, comfort one another with these words. All right? Now, who are these that God is bringing back with him? We're waiting to wit the redemption of our bodies. Well, I tell you now, without fear of ever having to be eternally corrected, that if time does waste out on us, and I do go by the way of the grave, and they do plant me over there with my forefathers, that when he comes back, I'll come with him. And when I get so close to that old clay hill over there, like a magnet, I'll claim the redemption of this body. And then immediately it will be changed from this vile body like unto his glorious body. And I will reign with him forever and forever and forever. But make no mistake, the in Christed is not all the Christians. The Christ in you is the hope of glory, but the hope that it is, the glory that it is the hope of is that Christ will engulf your whole being. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And the first resurrection, only the in Christed comes out. Now I'll tell you just as plain as I know how who the in Christed are. And I'll just use myself for an example. If I should go by the way of the grave tonight, And there is nothing between me and God that would keep me from being translated alive should the time element be tonight. Then I am in Christed. But if there is something that would keep me from being translated into life tonight, should that incident take place, then I am not in Christed. You know what happens to me then? Somebody said, he'll go to... No, I just won't rise again for 1,000 years. I'll rise again after the millennial reign, and then I'll be judged according to the books, plural. And I open 5 books at that judgment. They're all scriptural. All right? But if I... You see, after the first resurrection, there's no mention of judgment connected with the first resurrection. You know what has happened? We've been judged prior to the first resurrection. Judged worthy to go into it. To be part of it. We don't need any further judgment. But God is raising up now. Now I have to get on here. Did I read the verse I was going to read? In the 11th chapter, in the... The 15th verse? And the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Who is this? Who is the Lord? Everybody knows who the Lord is. Jesus. But who is this Christ? Oh, that's us. The Lord, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. His anointed body. Hallelujah. I tell you that God has launched, hallelujah. I remember when I forget how old it was. And Pearl Harbor was bombed in what, 41? Was it 41? Yeah. I was 15 years old, 14. I stood by the radio and listened to that. And, I couldn't imagine Pearl Harbor. And couldn't imagine anything across that great big old ocean. I'd just seen the ocean once or twice down in Galveston. And I thought, boy, what a sight. And here I am, 14 half years old. And I'd like to go over there. Yeah. and then I guess I was 15 years old because I went. I didn't go over there, but I went the other way when I was 16. But yeah, we went. I heard President Roosevelt, remember his speech? Fellow Americans, he says, Congress has declared that the United States is in a state of war against Japan. Early this morning, the Imperial Japanese Air Force bombed Pearl Harbor. This day shall go down in history as a great day of infamy. We have declared war and we will be meeting the Japanese on the land. We'll fight them on the land. We'll fight them on the seas. We'll fight them in the air. I tell you, fellow Americans, we will not cease to fight until the Imperial Japanese Army is no longer able to wage war. We will receive and accept nothing short of unconditional surrender. It took all the curl out of my hair. I felt real patriotic. I got to get there. Amen. Got to see this. And I love to hear the you know, that wasn't much television, hardly any television then. But I love to hear the president talk about it. Then every year he'd give a State of the Union. And he'd say the end is not yet in sight. But the last State of the Union address he gave before the war was over, he said, the end is in sight. We had them. It was just a matter of getting all the documentation. Then I like that picture of Hirohito, yeah. And Douglas MacArthur standing in this big old auditorium room, looks about big as this auditorium. Ain't nothing in it but a table without even a scarf on it. There's some books and a flag behind the general. And here comes the general of the Japanese army to sign the surrender documents. He looks old and haggard and drawn. And Douglas MacArthur looks like the hero, the great conqueror, which he was, indeed, great warrior, standing tall and straight while this bent, old, beaten warrior signs unconditional surrender. We don't have any... Do us any way you want to. We don't have any say. I tell you, that's... We will meet, yeah, the big horn made war against the saints. Yeah. But I tell you this, that the spiritual congress of the universe has declared a state of warfare against him. We'll meet him on the ground and in the air and on the seas, but we won't cease to make war until he can no longer wage war. And then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and we shall reign with Him forever and ever. Now for a few minutes, and I'm not going to be lengthy. I went to one preacher asked me to come, and I don't go for a lot of advertisements. You know, I just preach and teach and prophesy and whatever the Lord lets me do, and I don't never do no advertising. I never knock on nobody's door. I don't even invite anybody to come to the church here. You know, I'll invite you to come by and see us, but I mean, I don't get out in the community and invite anybody. I figure, you know what I figure? I figure the Lord will send me all He wants me to have, and they'll give me enough trouble without me going up. Now. And don't you go back and try to do everything I'm telling you I do. Somebody will jump on you and whoop you, but but they won't do me that way, see. That's the way I do it. I just preach, teach. They know, anybody says, you want to run it? Oh, I said, no, goodness, been here 35 years. They know I'm here. And, you know, if they come, many have come and been blessed. And like I say, I feel like the Lord, if He wants them to come, He'll send them in. He knows where they are. He didn't nobody come lead me in. I just got hungry and went to the trough. Hallelujah. Now, so God brings us in, and as He brings us in, let me show you now what God does when He gets ready to bring forth this deliverer. I wanted to show you that we were going to be judges. Did you know that Paul said to the Corinth church, he said, don't you know? They were having some kind of little disputes, and they was having a hard time making decisions. And he said, goodness, don't you know you're going to judge angels? And I wondered for a long time what that meant. But before we go to Exodus, I'll show you what it means in Jude, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, and then in 1 Peter, no, it's 2 Peter, I guess it is, chapter 2 and verse 4, it's practically the same, it is the same statement. The word is just a little different, but it is the same statement. Well, then we know about the fallen angels, didn't we? All right, what has happened here? It has pleased God that these angels must be judged by the human race that has been transformed into godliness, and they have been in being held in prison. They are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, what they're being held for is until a company of judges can come upon the earth that can judge their case. They're like a man that has committed or allegedly committed a crime, and he is being held in jail without bond until his trial. These angels, they sinned against God. They were caught and captivated, put in prison, and they have been held without bond, awaiting the day that they will be come before the judge. But so far, there has not been a company of judges that can make this judgment. The reason I can't make it, you know the reason I can't make it? Same reason you can't make it. The reason I can't make this judgment now is because I judge too much by the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. But there comes a time before God is through with us that we no longer will judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but with righteous judgment we shall judge. And when that day comes, these angels will come on trial, and the sons of God will judge them and pronounce their fate. But God has to raise up these judges. Now, having said that, I'll show you how He raises them up. In the next, if you give me about 30 more minutes, and then I'll take 30, and that'd be getting late. If brother said, if anybody has to ease out about 1:30, well, don't feel bad about it. We'll know that you felt like you had to. praise the Lord. God's good, isn't He?
Oh, yes.
Isn't He wonderful? Yes. I tell you, saith the Lord, that deep is calling to deep tonight. Yea, I've opened up the spirit of revelation. I've enlightened your eyes and your seeing. Yea, I tell you that you're being taught, and the teacher has not taught until the student has learned. Yea, but you shall surely go away enlightened. Yea, and you'll be strengthened by the power of His might. You won't leave here like you come, because deep has called unto deep. Yea, and you will realize some for the first time that I am called of God. Yea, and the Almighty has His hand upon me. Yea, and thou shalt know of an assurance. Yea, that you've heard voices. You've heard the voice of God. Yea, yea, for what would you come to see? A reed that is bent with ever trade wind? Yeah, a prophet dressed in fine raiment and silk? Nay, I say that you've come to hear a prophet that the only wind that can bend this prophet is the wind of the Holy Ghost. Yea, the only motivation is the motivation of the love of God. Yea, for dispensation of truth is laid upon the prophet. Yea, and he shall share many great truths with you. Ye shall grow by leaps and bounds. Yea, ye shall grow like a fatted calf in a stall, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and I shall bring you to Zion and say, this is my people. Yea, I have brought them to Zion. I took them one of a city and two of a family. Yea, and I brought them to Zion and give them pastors and teachers that are after my heart, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, Exodus chapter 2. All right, God's about to raise up a deliverer and a judge. He's one man, but he's going to be a deliverer and a judge. His name is going to be Moses. And when Moses gives the orders to the children of Israel to catch the lamb and put the blood over the door, you remember this incident? And the death angel was going to come through at midnight. Well, when they acted in obedience, it assured two principles. Absolutely assured two principles. When the Israelites acted in obedience to the word of Moses, which was the word of God, it guaranteed two principles. Israel would get deliverance, and Egypt would get judgment. And it was all wrought. Is that the scripture on it? He'll judge. He'll deliver Israel and judge Egypt that kept them in captivity, and Moses is a man. Now, let me show you here. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. You know this story, so spare me the reading. I'll tell you the story briefly. But let me give you what we're noticing here. A man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. You see anything? We're going after a thoroughbred here. Hallelujah. Amen. This man of Levi is going to take a daughter of Levi. He's not going to take a daughter of any other tribe or a daughter that doesn't belong to any of the tribes. He's going to take a daughter of Levi. God is going to raise up a thoroughbred. Now, let me say here that that I'm not preaching blood lineage. I'm moving it over. And hear me in the spirit. Will you hear me in the spirit? Don't hear me in the flesh. This was a flesh thing, but it was also a spirit thing. But God is raising up some thoroughbreds in the spirit. Doesn't have anything to do with our real blood lineage, whether we can trace our lineage back to whoever we can trace it back to. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with what God's doing to us. So God's going to raise up a thoroughbred. Somebody said, well, I'd like to have a full-blood horse. Well, what kind of full-blood horse would you like to have? You don't want a full-blood horse, probably. Anybody that wants a full-blood horse, unless he... I don't know what you'd want with him, unless you'd want him to for reproduction purposes. All full-blood animals have defects, weaknesses. What you meant was you want a thoroughbred horse. And there's a difference between a thoroughbred and a full-blood. You know how you get a quarter horse, how you get... Yeah, my granddaddy, well, my granddaddy's all the way back were cattle breeders, horse breeders and raisers. My granddaddy said, my granddaddy gave me a little horse when I was, just 10 years old maybe. And he was beautiful. He was like, had a solid white face, glass eyes. You know glass eyes, what you call glass eyes? It's clear eyes. And he had four stocking feet from up to his knees. And he had a white a belly. Under his belly was white. And the rest of him was jet black. And I said to my granddaddy, well, I'd like to have a whole corral full of these. Well, he said, son, it'd take a long time. He said, it'd take 16 generations, and I can do it for you. It only takes 14 generations, but he's figuring two generations, the space of two generations to get the horse old enough to begin the reproduction. But he says, in 14 generations, I can breed any color out or any color in. So if you're wanting to get your horse that's like race horses, you know, they breed them for, maybe they breed... they get one breed is extra strong, and another breed is extra fast. The strong breed's slow, but the other one is extra fast. You cross them two, get the strength of the stout horse here, and the speed of the fast one, and blend that together, and then reblend both of them until you get about all the speed you think the horse can afford, and he still maintains a good sturdy body. If you breed him too far out, he'll go back to a frail, stringy body for speed. All right, so, but God was looking for a thoroughbred here. What he's looking for is a man that won't crumble under pressure. Ah. So he sends a man of Levi to get a daughter of Levi to produce a deliverer that won't bend. A deliverer that is dependable, one that will have all the traits of stability, one that will not turn back in the day of battle. He's bringing this deliverer forth. See, now that's what God's doing with us. He's raising up deliverers for, and he's placing the attributes in us that he wants in us to make us stand, to give us stability. He brings us through divine order. He talks about his government. He says to order it and to establish it in judgment. That's the procedure. Isaiah 6, verse 9, 10, long in there. To order it. Now, you can't never get here unless you come this way. It has to be ordered to get established. If you can't stand no order, you can't stand any establishment. I don't care how many charismatic bunny hops you can do. If you can't be ordered, you can't get established. And if you can't... Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, the charismatic, it bothered me tremendously being from the old school when them charismatics started talking about being filled with the Spirit. And it didn't change nothing but the statement. And the old school that I come up through, when you got it, you didn't get it, it got you. And it changed your life. But here they are, just going on about their business and doing the same thing they always done, and just so spiritual that they were having just finicky talks with the Father. And every time He ever spoke to me, He puts me on the spot and makes me nervous. But they just buddy-buddy with Him. But I'm not... But and you do know that there's never been any establishment. The Lord settled the question for me, though, and He said, well, the difference is y'all got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they just got filled with it. And Samson got filled with it. And he picked up gates and walked off with, done a lot of things when the Holy Ghost would move on him. And he was filled with it. But in your case, it came to abide. If it comes to abide, it'll change your character. If it just moves on you, it'll make you jump high. Hallelujah. Amen. But you'll hit the ground the same way that you, just like you was before you went up. It has to get in you. Where was I before I started meddling? He sent a man to take a bride to produce a... Hallelujah. You know, and they I was listening to tape the other day, and this guy's got somebody coming over to teach him to dance. And the, you know, and then he invited the public, give them about 3 weeks to learn it, and come and we'll do it for you. We just didn't have to give them no advance notice. Just come and we'd do it for you. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know. I can't relate to that. Maybe it's all right in the realm that it's in, but it doesn't belong to the realm that I'm talking about. I will concede that the charismatic movement was birthed of God. Now, all of the movements, and that they did something to promote the move of God. But I'm just saying that they just didn't come far enough, did they? And well, we hadn't come far enough either. So Moses, then he comes here, and you know the story. He looks pretty good, so they hold him out, and they're putting the babies to death. Finally put him in a basket, put him in the river. Pharaoh's daughter fishes him out. Has him raised in the palace, and he becomes the, I think that he becomes the crown prince of Egypt. Crown prince is the next one in line for the king. And, but the mother, the foster mother, the adopted mother, sends him to his biological mother, but she doesn't know it, to raise him for her, to keep him. For this is going to be a great deliverer. Now, God's got to be careful with this man. You're working carefully. See, oh my goodness. You can't get here through, somebody said it won't be, brother said about the revival, didn't think it'd be through any one denomination or any combination of denominations. It'll be through the body of Christ, I guess, and just whatever God does. But I don't think again. You know, I don't believe again that God will leave it to, you know, all of the one-man thing. Because if we have demonstrated anything at all, we've demonstrated we can't stand that kind of glory. The human race can't. All of them, without fail, has come falling down. And the rest of them, you just can't stand that. I was telling a fellow, you know, sometimes I've seen somebody dead. I preached a lot of funerals, over 700, and I have times have just practiced raising them from dead. You know, like command you to rise in Jesus' name. Now, so far, my batting average is zero, but you can't tell when that'll change. Now.
But I was, this elder, he knew about it, and he says, "Brother Jackson, man, just think what would have happened down here in town if you had a raised up." Man, said, "This town would have been on its ear, wouldn't it?" And that scared me, because he made me think. And I said, "You know what I was thinking was, what scares me is, and what I was thinking is what would happen to old Jack Harris if he'd have got up. You know what would have happened to Jack Harris? And if he go, would have blowed him away." Yeah. Blowed him away. Couldn't stand that kind of glory. Oh, they would have heaped all kinds of praise on me. My goodness, and I'd have just got more immolated until I just blowed up. Yeah. I see the wisdom in God's not doing that. He didn't want to just blow me away. Hallelujah. Yeah. But the day comes when he has built enough stuff into us. The day comes where we will, you know. All right. So he goes to this house. Oh, how far have you come? Now, this man, all right, so Moses is going to be tutored by two women, two different cultures. He's going to be taught the ways of Jehovah by his biological mother. He's going to be taught the ways of the gods of Egypt by his adopted mother. So God's going to have to, after he gets all of that teaching, God's going to have to get him 40 years over in the desert to unteach him. And so that he'll be good for God's use. So he, the next thing that happens to him then, well, you know the story how he gets over with his father-in-law there. So I've got to cut some corners here because I'm going to quit pretty soon. And he gets over there with his father-in-law, and the next thing that has to happen to him, he has to have, before he can be a deliverer, he has to have a double weaning. Who else had a double weaning? Well, let me give you a scripture here, because you may not know about a double weaning. In the 28th chapter of Isaiah, and the ninth verse, I guess it'll be, yeah. "Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." That's a double weaning. Now, if you can't come into this that I'm talking about until you've had a double weaning. you have a double weaning before you can be this deliverer. Now, you can, with just one weaning, or maybe without any weaning, we can do deliverance like we do now. But I'm talking about delivering a nation. I'm talking about delivering a race. I'm talking about deliverance. And you can't do this until you have a double weaning. You know, in my generation, babies were raised on the breast, the mother, you know. I understand a lot of doctors recommend that again now. But for a long time, they've just been almost strictly bottle fed. But in our generation, they nursed them at breast. But when that's kind of confining to the mother. So after the child gets so many weeks old or months old or whatever, she gets him a bottle, and you know, with a nipple on it, and then when she can't breastfeed him, she sticks the bottle in his mouth. So when she gets ready to wean him, she weans him from the breast, but she puts a bottle in his mouth. So that child has to be weaned twice. That's a double weaning. All right. Now, Moses, he was taught by two women, so he's got to have a double weaning. He's got to be weaned from the breast. What's he weaned from? From the breast, from the milk, and drawn from the breast. Hallelujah. All right. The first weaning, hold your hat. The first weaning is when you come out. When you follow the child, when you get weaned from the mother hen that hatched you. Yeah, I told you I was come out of the come outers. And I ain't too good to come out again if anybody wants to bow down. Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you come out from under the hen that hatched you, the mother hen, that's, and you get weaned. That's a weaning. You get that? All right? But you came, a lot of people came out, but, and they got the first weaning, but the mother hen kept mailing their litter to her. You go to your mailbox and it's full of literature. That's the battle. You just weaned off the breast, but you still own the battle. I know people that come out of the well-known denomination, came out 40 years ago. And the only difference in them and those that stayed in the denomination is that they just don't answer to Springfield anymore. they wean from the denominational hen, but they're still getting the literature quarterly. They haven't had a double weaning. Now, when they get a double weaning and forget about that literature that's mailed quarterly or monthly, and leave yourself open to the Holy Ghost to teach what is prevalent for this hour, then they'll have a double weaning. And when you get the double weaning, you're ready to confront the burning bush. Now, he confronted the burning bush, and you know, he got kind of careless over there for 40 years, Brother Rob. If everything goes good, you'll get too careless. You know, every time, you know, sometimes in life you can get everything just fixed pretty good. Yeah, everybody's, you know, family's doing good. Everybody's making a living. Nobody's in financial strait. Ain't no divorces on the docket. And everything's just going good. And you think, boy, I think I'll take a vacation. Everything's going real good. And about that time, yeah, from out of nowhere, here it comes. Hits you broad-faced. You know what that is? That's God saying to you, this ain't your rest. Hallelujah. Yeah, your rest is not here. No, it's somewhere else. It's God. God's always, every once in a while, he has to remind me, this ain't your rest. And shakes me up a little, you know. And there remaineth there for a rest for the children of God, but if you try to find it here by manipulation, by genius, and by the works of man, you'll find that this is not your rest. Hallelujah. Amen. So Moses, then he confronts the burning bush, gets the commission to go, and he is actually on the way. He bid the father-in-law goodbye, loaded his wife up, or I don't know, they may be walking, and his two sons, and they're leaving Midian to go to Egypt to give this great deliverance. Everything's fine. Moses at last has found his rest. But about the time they go around the big old clump of rock, God met him. It's all right there in Exodus. You know the passage. I don't have to read it to you. The Bible said God met him and would have killed him. You familiar with this?
Yeah.
What was he going to kill him for? He hadn't circumcised his sons. It was God's way of simply saying, all right, boy. Yeah. Yeah, I've raised you up a great deliverer and everything, and I'm going to bestow great power on you. Now, the glory that I'm going to reveal to you is going to be tremendous. But I tell you one thing, it's not going to happen until you bring up some loose ends. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, I fear that when God moves on us to make us know that God is moving on us, there's going to be some loose ends that we're going to have to take care of. People have grown careless. And because of the ease, they have acted as if they found their rest. And God's going to demand some loose ends be brought up. There has been, well, I don't like to talk about abuse toward the ministry because I don't feel that I've been abused, really, very little. Ministry has been very good to me. And I've tried to give the ministry a good shake, and it's been real good to me, but I know ministry that has been abused badly. And the church has abused ministry, and I tell you, before we can move into this deliverance ministry that I'm talking about, there's going to have to be some loose ends brought up. These boys don't get circumcised. Moses ain't going to Egypt. He's not going to be a deliverer. He's going to have to do this, and his wife did it for him, and that was all right. Then he could move on to his ministry of deliverance. I tell you now, saith the Lord, yea, that it is a time to be very careful. It is a time to walk barefooted before God. Yea, it is a time to search the Scriptures and find the way of life. Yea, it is a time that thou shalt hear the teachers that God will send your way. Yea, and you will feel spiritual growth has come and is coming to you. For God, the God of this universe, will move in your very heart and in your being. Yea, you'll find yourself moving more readily, more easily toward obedience to God. I tell you now that you will begin to develop, yea, a subconscious fear of missing God, lest you be obedient to Him. I'm bringing obedience to the body of Christ, saith the Lord. Yea, I'll make you so anxious to be obedient to me that you can't even visualize it in your most far-out dream at this moment, saith the Lord, thou God.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.